If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Binge Talking with Steve Lacy. As many of you know, I moved to New York City 6 years ago, which has been hands down the greatest thing I've ever done. I met my wife. I met so many interesting people here. It's really been incredible. Now, as someone who's a transplant, I sort of consider myself an amateur historian, and I'm particularly fascinated, obviously, with the late 70s, the Studio 54, CBGBs, punk, moving into the early 80s, the birth of hip-hop, the village scene. And my next guest is the perfect person to talk about that. He grew up in the village. He went to high school with Ad Rock's older sister. He became the Beastie Boys photographer. He was at Danceteria. He had so much going on. He went to Hunter College, which he just got off at his old alma mater to come visit us here at Fox 5. Without further ado, the Rickmaster General, Ricky Powell.
From New York City, USA, welcome to the Fox 5 Podcast Network.
All right, here we are. Next episode of Binge Talking, and there are a few things that are more legitimate New York than being name-dropped in a Beastie Boys song. My colleague Ernie Anastas, he's got a reference, and so does my next guest, Ricky Powell. I won't actually do it because this podcast is in its infancy. I don't want the powers that be to yank me off, but you can find the Ricky Powell name drop. It's worth it. It's classic.
Oof.
As is the Rickster himself, the Rickmaster General. He goes by lots of names. The Lazy Hustler on Instagram. He's got a whole visual language, a whole street language. There's a lot going on with this guy. We finally got him in here, and I'm psyched to see him again. Ricky, what's going on, man?
Oof. That's like, what an intro. Yo, could you walk around me like all day?
I'll be your hype man.
Right. Thank you.
Word.
My mobile PR firm, but yeah, hype man, definitely. If I'm like, yo, here comes a hot chick, do me a favor, come here. Say this to her right now. Make me look good.
I'm up for the gig because I'm a big fan of yours. It's interesting. Yo, like, so obviously,
I love seeing your likes on my joint.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We're friends on IG. Like, I like your stuff. You like mine. We go back and forth.
Yo, who's that girl in your pictures?
That's my wife. I'm a lucky dude. I'm playing over my head with her,
yo,
for
she's
sure.
Fine, yo. I mean that professionally.
No, I appreciate
good,
that,
good.
Man.
You're doing well.
Everything's good right
good,
now, thank
good.
God.
That we're both dog lovers.
Dog lovers, that's a common interest, right?
Yeah.
So, I knew Ricky Powell from the pop culture references, from his photos, and then one day the Instagram algorithm fed me the Lazy Hustler. I'm like, oh, this is Ricky Powell, incredible, I follow him.
Oof.
And then we did a story about a year ago. I think it was like a year ago. I went down to the village, went to Ava's, which is his home.
Eva's,
his home base on West 8th.
Where are you from?
From Dighton, Mass, bro.
Dip.
Opposite of the village. I had the exact opposite upbringing as you, which
dip.
Is what fascinates me
it's
about
all right.
you. So he's a village kid, as you know, if you've ever
nice.
Been on his
nice.
Instagram. He's been running around for 30 years now, taking photos, whatnot.
30 plus.
He's you know, got
In 85, I commemorated, quote unquote, 30 years of pro photos on a hangout tip.
Right. That's a good way of putting it, too. Now, see, right now as I'm talking to you, I'm flipping through. He's got a new book out called The Individualist. He's had a number of books, but the great thing is I'm flipping through. This is a ton of stuff I've never seen before. It's so deep. I'm looking right on one page. I've got Jerry Seinfeld, 1996, Oprah, 1989, Ike Turner and Keith Richards at the Waldorf Astoria, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, 1988. There's a great story with this. You mentioned the second after you snapped this pic. You got shown the door.
I got yanked out by my collar out of that elevator.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, did you just wander in and sort of sneak in? And
yeah, I kind of finagled my way in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm good at that. It went up kind of like, you know, the scene in Goodfellas where he takes his girl in through to the Copa and they go through all these hallways and winding? That's how I did it. I went in through, like, the Lexington Avenue entrance of the Waldorf, ducked in some stairways, walked up, peeked. I saw a security dude looking the other way. I kind of dipped up. I passed like an open elevator, and I saw Ike Turner and Keith Richards cracking up, and I was like, oh my God, and just dipped in. Because, you know, when you put your pants on and get out of the house, anything's possible, especially as a, you know, wandering photographer in those days.
Right. Now, I mean, the thing, it's weird. Like, I find myself very fascinated by photography. I mean, I like taking pictures on my phone or whatnot, but, like, I really respect the people that were doing it back when you needed a camera, you needed to develop the photos. Everywhere wasn't used to the world taking pictures, so you had to sneak it in. You had to get by gatekeepers to get close to people. There was a whole other element to it back when you started out. Like, what was your initial way into bringing the camera everywhere, documenting what you were doing?
Well, you know, the infamous story is I got into photography out of spite. You know, Scorpio's revenge on, you know, on a girl who played me like a soggy cannoli.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah. You know, it's a long story, but this chick dissed me for a dude with tie-dye yoga pants, and I was, like, mortified. And so, a month later, found a bag of her stuff in my house, and I was like, there's some dirty socks and this and that. Oh, a little point-and-shoot jammy. I'm going to take this little instrument. I'm going to make her sorry. She did me like a wet tuna sandwich, so I went from Joe Schnook to like the Rickster downtown photographer overnight. I just put it around my thing and my shoulder and started shooting at art openings like Keith Haring and Basquiat and down the club scene. And then, you know, magazines like Paper and the East Village Eye and Details were like, oh, shoot, yo, you want to shoot our club scene? So started doing, you know, because I was a phys ed major at Hunter College at the time. I had no, like, artistic, this thing just came about.
Right.
So it was fun. I was like, you know, because, you know, all you need to take a picture is to have a PhD. Push you a dummy. So I just went, blah, blah, blah. And that little instrument, that little tool, man, opened many doors to me. I mean, along with my, you know, personality.
Your swaggering personality.
Yes, it just all works. So, you know, and things just kind of like, you know, how
you were a handsome dude back in the day here. I'm looking at these pictures, 1986, man.
Well, you know, lucky, I guess. I don't know.
So, but I mean,
but
so
it's been downhill ever since.
Oh, knock it off. So the thing that fascinates me, as we alluded to, I can't remember if this was before or after we were rolling, but you know, I'm from the middle of nowhere, a small town in Massachusetts. Whereas you grew up, what on Fifth Ave down in the Village, right?
Well, I grew up in Manhattan, but I grew up on 9th Street and 5th Avenue at a pivotal time in my life at the old 5th Avenue Hotel. Between the ages of 14 and 24, which from 1975 to 1985 or 86. So it was the second half of the 70s, the first half of the 80s on that corner. I was fortunate. I was lucky. So, you know, pretty centrally located and...
I mean, because that's a time, I think, that's been totally mythologized. I think anyone who loves New York looks back at that and is like, wow, that must have been incredible back then. And you were there. I suppose you always look back on your life and think, you know, when I was 20 or whatever was cool. But that really was a cool time to be around.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, I can see that roof from different spots around the Village, especially if I'm hanging out by, like, Jefferson Market Garden on, you know, 9th and 6th. And every time I look at that roof, I'm like, wow, man, I had some memories in that building or, like, up on that roof. I was the only one in the building who knew how to get up to the tippy top. And I used to, like, you know, bring chicks up there. I'd meet in Washington Square Park and, like, party out with my box, my radio, and blah, blah, blah. I tell people, see that tippy top right there? I was the only one who knew to get up there.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's...
Well, no, it's funny, too. Like, I got a glimpse of your game when we were outside Eva's, and this girl walks by, and you go, hey, you know where the Village is? And she didn't know what to do. And I'm like, oh, that's a genius pickup line.
Oh, that's
one
of my lines. I also got, hey...
She didn't know either, too, which was funny. She's like, oh.
That's one of my... I had another one. I was like, hey, you look like an art buyer. And then I always have the other one. Hey, you, come here. You.
So I'm looking through these photos, like, so... You, the Beastie Boys connection with you was that you went to school. Kill that iced coffee there.
Sorry, B.
Oof. You went to school with
Ad Rock's older sister. What was her name? Rachel.
Rachel.
She was in my fourth grade class.
So you're a few years older than them, but you're, you know.
Well, no, she's my age.
She's your age.
Adam's about 5 years younger.
5 years younger. Yeah,
but
yeah.
We knew each other from like the local schoolyard, PS41 schoolyard, because it was like the gates would be left open after school. And it was kind of like a community, you know, rec area, because, you know, you'd had adults playing tennis against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and my crew, you know, playing basketball and whatnot and ball and hanging and, you know, his little crew skateboarding, all kinds of crews in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I seen him, you know, growing up. You know, 5 year difference is big when you're, you know.
Sure, when you're younger,
like 16,
yeah.
16, he's 11, I'm 19, he's 14, you know. But yeah. I seen him come up, I'd be like, hey, little Adam. And he was coming up, and I was like, man, this kid's cool.
Right, but that, like, that's the sort of trust relationship you can't replace. Once he gets famous or whatever, he knows you from before anyone needed anything from him or whatever. So that's, you know.
You know, kind of looked up to me. I was kind of nice on the court. Made my own, established my own. You know, I was all Greenwich Avenue in 77.
Oh, yeah? That's huge.
I bit that from Howard Cosell. I think he once said, yeah, it was all Eastern Parkway.
Eastern Parkway. Hunter College alum here. So you got off the subway. This is your old stomping grounds up
man,
here.
Yeah, man, 68th Street.
Yeah.
I won the Hunter College triathlon in 83.
No kidding.
Let me break that out. Maybe I got it right here.
It must have been like one of the first triathlons. I feel like that was like the beginning of that whole thing.
Well, it
was like...
big. Yeah, it was actually mini, so let's not get it.
Oh, I got you.
But it was like a quarter mile in the pool, and then we ran outside, and our bikes were locked up and or parked, and then it was three laps in Central Park, and then running one lap.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's, you know.
And listen, it's a podcast. We'll count that as a full triathlon.
You know, got me juice in the phys ed department because they were all dissing me because I always come in sloppy with, you know, because everyone was kind of straight-laced and I was kind of sloppy, you know. Cause
Uncle Sloppy.
I kind of, you know, emulated Oscar Madison, you know. So, and then when I won that race, they were on my jock and I was like, yo, fall back.
So I'm looking at these photos here. So you get... So now we're like mid-80s, you're on the Village scene. So, I mean, you're going to like Danceteria, all those sort of clubs, all that stuff,
Roxy's.
Right? I mean, that was incredible, right?
I was working at the A Street Playhouse movie theater in 82. All kinds of stuff. I got into all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then
it was a good time, early, you know, in like 82, I'm like 21, you know, primed.
Yeah.
So.
And then you get, so then a few years later, we fast forward. Beastie Boys hit, they go on tour, License to Ill, and you wind up meeting them down in Florida.
Right.
Right, like...
Well, that's the summer 86.
Yeah.
I was, well, listen, with them, I met them in, you know, as a unit in September of 85, and they just played at the Cat Club after they just got off Madonna tour. I was like, you know, let me check Adam and these kids.
Right.
So, after the gig, which was they kilted it, I went backstage and Adam was like, yo, this is Adam and Mike. Hey, what's up? I don't know. I just started hanging with them through the fall into the winter of 85. And then in the spring of 86, you know, they would take me like, yo, we're going to, you know, we got a gig in Boston tonight. You want to come? We'll come back after the gig or D.C. And I was like, yeah, it was fun. So, you know, we jump in the van and shit.
It's all right. It's a podcast.
Okay.
Ain't no
so thing. Then summer of 86, I just graduated from Hunter. After 6.5 years of college,
you know, my PhD, Ricky Powell.
Yeah, my mom kicked me out. She's like, oh, I need the room now. I need the bedroom. and I moved in with this old, discreet older lady, but that's a whole other thing.
That's another ongoing theme of Ricky's Insta.
So I'm a Frozade vendor. My first college job, I'm selling frozen lemonade on the street in a slush. And I'm on, in Sheridan Square, and it's blazing hot out. There's no one out. I'm sweltering, and I pull out USA Today, and two-page spread in the middle. Raising Hell Tour, Run DMC, LL Cool J, Houdini, the Beastie Boys. And I'm like, I got to be there. Hell with this shit. And I fucking packed up the cart, rolled it in to the East Village, got on a, packed a little something, got on the fucking, went to the airport, ended up in Tampa. I don't know where I am, never been there. And I'm asking around, yo, where's the gig? Anyone know where the Raising Hell? They're like, oh, that's in Tampa. I'm like, why? Where the hell is that? So, you know, I'm sitting on the street on a curb drinking a 40, and this cop car comes up, and they start busting my balls. Like, hey, boy, and I'm wearing a Yankee shirt, which is the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, yeah, you're repping the wrong colors down there.
It was like, so then it starts getting dark, right? It's like 7, 8 o'clock. I'm like, yo, so I go into this bar. It's all these, you know, hillbillies or whatever, and not to diss, and I throw all my money on the count on the bar, most of it coins. It's like 30, 40 bucks. I'm like, yo, can anyone take me to Tampa? So these dudes go, yeah, we'll take you. So we get in a pickup truck, old one, and I'm sitting in the middle, and they, you know, they look like, you know, so...
We're a long driving. Way from Fifth Ave right now.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know where the hell I am. We're on a dark highway. They kind of pull off. We go on a dirt road.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, oh, man. I start thinking of the movie Deliverance.
Oh, yeah.
Because these dudes look like the dudes in Deliverance.
Right. Banjos start playing.
So, exactly. I'm starting to sweat. I'm like, yo, I cannot believe.
Oh,
what
man.
The, where, why am I here? Da-da-da. And then when I start bugging, all of a sudden I see in the foreground, in the back, and ahead, the top of the Tampa Dome. I'm like, oh my God, they actually brought me. So I get out, I knock on the back of the dome. Security dude comes out, yeah. I'm like, yo, tell Ad Rock from the Beasties, the Rickster's out here. So he comes out, 5 minutes later, he goes, yo, what's up? What are you doing around here? I'm like, nah, I was in the hood. He brings me in, we go over in the back area of the arena, and I kind of hear like, you know, thumping beat, boom, boom, it's getting louder, and we open the door to go in the actual arena, and fucking Run DMC is playing. I see Jam Master Jay suspended in the air doing a single,
whoa,
like a solo, cutting it up during Peter Piper. Crowd is fucking bananas, and I'm like, oh my God. And then I was like, wow, this is the big time. And then they gave me, you know, Beasties gave me a bed on the tour bus, so then I was on the Raising Hell tour for like a week in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rest is history.
Yeah. That, I mean, and you
then I became, got a job at Def Jam as a messenger, and then I became a photographer, and then, you know, it was time for License to Ill album in the beginning of 87 for the tour, and they asked me if I wanted to come along. I was like, all right. And then, you know, it's nothing I could have gone to college to do, man, being a tour photographer on License to Ill tour.
Man, I mean, the thing is incredible, too. Like, this whole thing sprung up from people literally from your block. Those guys in the Village, Def Jam's around the corner. You showed me where that was on University Place or whatever.
No, Bleecker.
Bleecker.
Oh, no. Well, Rick Rubin started Def Jam
dorm,
out
right?
of his dorm room.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
There's a piece on that, like on maybe 3030 or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
Like, he's like not even going to classes anymore. He's in the dorm room. He's got all these demo tapes and shit.
Yeah, no. It,
I was there once or twice.
That's incredible.
He was cool. He was cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
He was always nice to me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, like, when's the last time you saw Rick Rubin?
Nah, dumb long.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Because he's out in Malibu now.
I mean,
right, yeah. So then, like, through the years, you keep taking photographs, and you actually, like, it's not like the Beastie Boys is the beginning and end of your thing
nah,
at all. Like,
because well,
you're on Basquiat photos.
Dig it.
Yeah.
In 86, like,
yeah.
This is the thing. Things just came at me. Boom, 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 boom. That's why I say, I always tell young bucks, photography can open many doors for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then these chicks came up to me at the club, The World. They saw me walking around the dance floor, and they're like, yo, you ever shot for a photo agency? I'm like, what's that? They said, well, you know, Lynn Goldsmith, she got LGI. Why don't you come check us out on 36th Street? So I went up there, and it was like photo agency. You know, it was 10 workers on phones, and they introduced me to Lynn. And, you know, she was a vivacious lady. And then, you know, she loved that I was in down with the Beasties, and she loved calling me Rickster.
Mm.
And she was, I learned, you know, so she started sending me, you know, I became like a paparazzi right there, boom, boom, boom.
And think
at the same time as, you know, being into hip hop.
And Lynn is.
And the art scene.
Lynn is, like, huge, too. Cause,
legend.
Yeah, no, totally. She's someone actually I want to get in here, too. Because
oh,
I know,
yeah?
Because I know now specifically through my other buddy, Weiss Guy, who we had on here, who's a photographer who knows Lynn.
Uh-huh.
She is now involved in a lawsuit.
It's oh,
like
yeah.
about the Warhols or whatever, and like they used
yeah,
her
they Prince
the
photo.
Prince photo with her yeah. photo that got used.
Don't mess with Lynn, boy.
Right.
She's a tough cookie. She knows the ins and outs of, you know, rights and all that
right.
shit.
Right. How big of an issue is that in your life? Did people try to rip off your, you know, how much you have to protect your images?
You know, listen, man. Yeah, it's tough to like keep up on everything. Like, I get perpetrated upon,
mm-hmm.
you know. It happens.
Right.
Just, you know, I'm just getting a manager now, a good one, who's going to be like an enforcer for me.
No, it's good. You need that. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever is Duke. You know, all kinds of shit happens. You know,
yeah.
All kinds of shit. You just, whatever is Duke. But she's a tough cookie. I learned a lot about the hustle from her. Actually, mm-hmm. they interviewed her on this documentary of my life recently. And I can imagine what she said. Oof, she's a tough cookie, dude. She used to have mad beef. She had mad beef with a lot of like photo editors because she's such a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be screaming on them. So like, if she sent me over to like Newsweek or whatever with her slides to be like, you know, for a story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, her beef with these people. I remember the art director, or the photo editor at Newsweek. This big monster of a woman had beef with Lynn. So. I caught the ire of their beef.
Mm-hmm.
I caught
you
it
got,
from this
you
chick.
Got in the middle of it,
and
yeah.
I would just laugh and shit.
Yeah.
I go back to her and I'd be like, yo, what did you do to that lady, dude?
I mean, is the nature of that quarrel, like how they would edit her photos? Like, is that what she was, like, ultimately she wanted
yeah,
it to be how
well,
she wanted
she's a
it.
Fucking perfectionist,
yeah.
which I respect. You know, I hold her in high regard.
Yep.
I gave her props in, like, one of my books, like a whole page. And I dug those 3 years. I worked there at LGI in the office, like doing everything, filing, shooting. And, you know, I loved it. But I hated when she made me go run errands on her bicycle with that flowered basket.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That's off brand for the Rickster.
That was embarrassing because, like, you know, I was a bike messenger at some point. So I had, like, the souped up, like, chrome bike with the clip bars and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So then we go through. I mean, these pictures are incredible. Like I continue to flip through your book.
Thank you, bro.
Like this book is really, really
shit,
legit.
Yo,
like a ton
you.
Of stuff. If you follow Ricky on Insta, like trust me, this isn't just stuff you've seen. Like this is incredible. I'm looking right here. Joe Perry and MCA. This must be like when they were recording like, Walk This Way.
Well,
or
they
like,
were
you know,
just in Florida at the same time. They, you know, I don't know, they came on stage or some
oh,
shit.
Oh, wow.
Impromptu thing.
Yeah. I mean, God, that's incredible.
But you know what? You bringing up Insta, that's the current, like, you know, stage I'm in my lineage of photography.
Right.
Like, I don't even really shoot with my other cameras. I like shooting with the phone.
Yep.
Because I like being able to put the image right up and put my caption in there so it's my personality. So each post is a little Rickfordism. And, you know, I get to, like, express myself. I love it.
No, you're totally. When we met a year ago and did the story, you know, one of the big things you wanted to convey was how it's, right, it goes beyond the photo. If you follow you, you know, there's these different hashtags, Uncle Sloppy, Uncle Doinky, da-da-da, like all these things sort of pop up.
You know my work
They have a way of working your way into my life, like I'll
wow.
start saying this. It's Joke. Just funny. It's like, but there's a whole rhythm to it that winds up making
wow.
sense the more
a
you
rhythm.
Know you. Yeah. Like,
wow.
It's almost like, it's
oof.
Like beat poetry through hashtags
wow.
via Instagram.
Yo, you're slaying me.
I'm your hype man, dude. Bring me around
Yo,
wherever
dude.
You want. So when did you start
well, can I just
the account?
Say something?
Yeah.
The thing I love expressing myself with a visually intriguing image
mm-hmm.
and then writing something that gives it, you know, with a sense of humor so it makes people laugh
yeah.
at the end as well.
No, totally. Right. It works on a lot of levels. And then you mentioned one of the big things you love is like, We went to Washington Square Park, and then you knew the dog walker. You love all the dogs, the neighborhood, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like sort of a point of common reference for us.
Uh-huh.
I've got my dog, which I'm obsessed with.
Uh-huh.
That we all know. And so now, all right. So yeah, now on also on the Insta, you can tell like you'll be like, hey, I got the camera crew. So you've got these legit documentary guys following you around doing a thing on your life right now.
Yeah, unbelievably. I'm like, why me? I guess I'm intriguing. I guess.
No, like, I mean, can you feel like the interest, you know, building you? Like, do you know, like, oh, I'm kind of having a moment, like, maybe these photos are back in, or, like, there's more interest in me? Like, just, what's the last few years been? Like, has there been more interest in you of late? Is it pretty consistent, or, you know?
Well, you know, life, it's, the way I live it, it's, oh, Doogie Howser.
That's Ricky Powell's
Let me just see who that
ringtone
is.
Right there.
Oh, this guy, now he calls me?
Is that a
wiggers.
Jazz ringtone?
Yeah, of course. Nice. That's a good point, man. Jazzy funk is a big part of my life. Funky jazz. I got mixtapes. If you Google Ricky Powell mixtapes, they come up. And, you know, I make them for, like, impromptu house parties.
Right, right.
And that actually came... You saw those little instances of mine recently in SF? After we were boogie-woogieing on the street, I ended up at this house party.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, mostly these kids, you know, in their early 20s, mid-20s, you know, kind of da-da-da-da. And I say, yo, you know, they're playing whack music. I say, yo, put on one of my mixtapes off, you know, on the internet.
Yeah.
And they put it on, and, yo, they were like, what? So, you know, it's part of my thing. I like to enhance the ambiance with my musical.
Pumpernickel Funkulations?
Oof!
Right? Is that it?
Yeah,
that's it, right?
Man. I sent you that text of the flyer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was genius, this guy. I like that flyer.
No, it's, yeah, so you do, like, installations, parties,
yeah,
like, right, it's
wow.
a whole, it's a whole aesthetic beyond just photos and stuff like that. And
I'm me, dude, you know
yeah.
what, I'm just existing as me, and there's all kinds of winding turns up and down, this way, up, whoop, 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 and, you know, it's a journey, and at this point, I'm 55 and a half at this juncture.
I love the half, you did that on me a year ago, too, 54 and a half.
This guy.
I'm like, when do you start working half years into it? Because I'm probably getting there soon enough. I'm like, oh, I'm 42 and a half.
You know, somebody said in this documentary that I haven't grown up yet. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Jealous?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's awesome, honestly.
Listen, this may be shocking to you, but I'm not endearing to everybody.
I ain't down with the haters.
You know, I got my share of, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I've trained my mind to just, you know, and you have to actually work on it sometimes. Sometimes it gets to me, like, the negative stuff. Like,
yeah.
But mostly, you know, I'm with the positive. It's tricky out there. You know, when you come up, you get all kinds coming at you. And, you know, if you get, like, creepy mofos and you kind of, like, deject them, you know, then they start popping shit about you and blah, 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 blah.
Right, right, right.
That comes with the territory, so...
Mm-hmm.
But no, you know, it's mostly positive.
You make a great point, though, which interests me. If you choose to live a life that's the life you want to do, you know, you do get blowback from people who maybe didn't go that route and they want to give you grief for it. I mean, that's what you were just talking about, right? The idea that, you know,
they see and they want to get, you know, hang with you, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm down, but, you know, I'm very, you know, keen to, like, I could see right through people because,
right,
you know, I've been there on both sides, being a fan of people. I mean, there's just certain, you know, and there's etiquettes, and I mean, you know, chemistry is blah blah blah, and, you know, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I just had a big thing in San Francisco.
Yep.
At FTC Skateboards on the Hate, where I had a show because I did a little capsule with them. They put my images on clothes and skateboards, and big turnout, and, you know, I love being, you know, Uncle Funky and being cool and stuff, and for the most part, you know, I killed it. The owner was like, wow, you know, all the staff was like, yo, you killed it. Everyone was like, blah, 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 because I had my pictures, like, on a wheel or whatever, you know, like 200 pictures just flashing on this big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I usually do my slideshow where, you know, everyone has to sit and watch and I talk. But this way, actually, the way I did it was like, yo, just let it play and you just walk around in the crowd. And this way you could talk individually with people and blah, blah,
yeah.
And I liked it that way.
Yep.
Plus they had blow-ups. And so I kilted it that way and it was a great experience. And the owner was like, you know, thank you, you really kilted it. And so I'm going to Tokyo next week to their Japanese store in Tokyo near Shibuya or Shibuya, some shit. I'm bad with exotic languages. So I'm going to go out there. You know, I'm like Elvis in Japan.
Right. You love it out there.
Elvis, like, Costello.
Yeah.
But
hey, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Elvis Costello is incredible.
True.
All right, Rickster.
So?
That's the
is
thing,
that
man.
It?
I think that might be it. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess, you know.
You gotta follow the Lazy Hustler on Instagram.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, from the San Fran trip, we won't go into it, but sometimes the best stuff he puts up doesn't stay up too long. So there's the hook for following the Lazy Hustler.
Listen.
You gotta follow it.
You never know when
you catch it at the right moment. There might be a movie or two up there that doesn't stay too long, but it's enough to get an insight.
Yeah, yo, but people, they loved it, dude. The comments I got were like, yo, you, this is the real IG, or yo, you are wild, son. You know, this is all in fun. I like to do things that are impromptu and like, what? It's fun.
You know, I know my big takeaway from this, too, is I know I'm going to start saying killed it all over the place. Like, that's my new go-to.
Listen, I have to say it right.
Killed it. You're going to throw a lot of it.
Yeah, man. You get it.
I'm glad we worked this out.
Yeah, man.
Listen,
yo, Steve, you're a very cool dude, man. Seriously. I speak highly of you. You're very cool. You're a positive force.
I appreciate that. It means like the world to me.
I can't fake the funk. I'm a bad actor. So believe me, if I thought different, you'd know.
Word. I appreciate that.
Yes, man. Mutual respect is
a beautiful
thing.
Yes, man. M-A-H-N. The lingo.
You know my work. I love it.
The lazy hustler. Thank you, man.
Yes, man.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. This episode was recorded, edited, and mixed by Matt Onimus. Our executive producers are me, Matt, and Ahmad Asghar. Our vice president of news is Byron Harmon, and our vice president and general manager is Lou Leone. Binge Talking is part of the Fox 5 Podcast Network. I'm Steve Lacy, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, at Stephen Lacy with a V, or on Instagram, Steve Lacy, S-T-E-V-E-L-A-C-Y. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next episode.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.